they just found stuff like tin cans and stuff. And then then Biden, who would come out? Obama would come out. He's the only sober guy left, right? Supposedly. They'll come out and say, okay, we give up. What do you want? And they'll say, Robert Dobbs. You like to speak to Robert Dobbs. And then you'll see me walk by myself, the lonely little, whatever it is, walking up the ladder into a 26-mile fucking vehicle. I'll be taking an elevator up to it. And the world will wait. It'll be like a sporting event. Well, Dobbs has been in there for 15 hours. Nothing's come out yet. He's deciding the fate of our species. I'm going to come out and I'm going to have on the Tavistock grin. That's a zombie. An MKUltra zombie. The Tavistock grin. And I'll say, I'm sorry. I only saved one third of you. And where you are right this moment. All those are right now at the third year parallel. You're okay. The rest of you didn't make it. See, nobody will be able to run. The decision had already been made. And where you got before this happened.
Probably a lot of people are going to just poof off. After they look up from the iPhone walking down the street or whatever, they're going to look up in the sky and see a 26-mile fucking spaceship. Their heart's going to stop instantly. You know, fuck, Independence Day! Oof!
Well, there is something in Revelations that does say that an event happens and people faint with fear.
Mm-hmm. Men's heart stops.
Yeah.
Yeah, men's heart stops. But, you know, most of the people just hold up their little fucking cell phone and film it.
For an upload. For the latest upload.
Yeah, they'll be recording. Just another thing to record. I think it's so embarrassing to be human walking around with one of those phones in your hand. How stupid can you be, you know? You'll never see me with a phone looking down at it.
It's hard to find anybody who doesn't anymore.
That's right.
Ian said something about the world, the tech body's building a digital world and people will not be able to get out, I believe I heard.
Yeah.
A Permian Basin.
Yeah. That's it.
Is that what he's saying there? Permian Basin. Or is it permanent basin?
Sounded like Permian, Bob.
Yeah.
Permian.
Sounds like a Greek term.
Well, that's really, it is already true that they can't get out of it. It's not something that's going to happen. It's already happened.
Yeah. So I was, at some point, maybe it was during the show, I was explaining how all news has a assumption that humans can hear this information and do something about it. That is past. Nothing, you can't do anything with Tucker Carlson's panic of the night. He has a panic every night and lays out a pattern. He's talking to nobody because nobody can do anything about it. And they're just going to keep outraging. I mean, that's pretty bad. Five black cops go nuts for no reason.
And
that, I think you're going to see more ridiculous scenes like that.
Every week. I mean, they had earlier in the week the Pfizer guy talking about the virus. I mean, it's almost like, what is it, maybe 3-4 days? Every 3-4 days, there's going to be something on the cycle. Plus, Ion sent a TikTok during the show about the Russian ships off the coast, both coasts, not far from you, Bob, in Hawaii, and off the East Coast.
And
the
JW.
JW, so get ready to rumble, folks.
Yes, like, it's all converging. The aliens are coming. The Pentagon aliens know something about it, and they're positioning themselves. Because remember, Russian ships are American ships. The aliens run all of it, and they're faking the battle. So they're converging here on Maui and Georgia. They're fucking focusing on what our moves will be, you know?
Bob, did you ask Ian about that?
Go ahead. No, I don't know. Go ahead.
Did you ask Ian about that? That you posted on your Facebook. I saw it yesterday also. I only go on Facebook once a week. But I saw that YouTube clip of the fucking triangle spaceship on an aircraft carrier.
You sent that, didn't you? Or no, I don't know where.
You had that. No, I was news for me. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it said right there, a triangle, right there on the side of the cruiser or aircraft carrier. But you can see, I sort of dip into all the different UFO factions over the past couple of years. I caught up on all the different factions, and they're all freaking out. They say something's going on, and there's different responses. This one guy, Steve Barrett, I think he used to be the lawyer for Stephen Greer, and so he's very into the Disclosure Project, and for 20 years or so, he's a guest for somebody, and he's claiming that he's got a project going on in Hollywood, which, you know, be some stupid movie or something. But he says there has to be a disclosure first before the later stuff happens. So he's making sure that his project gets top billing in the sequence of events. You know what I mean? If you know he's a disclosure guy, he's insisting that the Pentagon is going to release stuff, but they begin with some kind of disclosure thing that he and Stephen Greer have been trying to do for 20 years. So that's his projection, his knowing, with his own contribution to it all as priority. So so you get all these factions who are thinking that the Pentagon is going to announce stuff, different levels, like that they already have aliens, or that they're going to meet them, or that they have high advanced technology, or they've already been using it. All these variations of how much... the military has been involved with aliens, okay? So it all gets erased when a 1,000 fucking 26-mile vehicles show up, right? They don't see that coming. I think they think it's going to be, well, finally the Pentagon will have a press conference with somebody, some respectable alien. They don't see it as huge ships showing up, I don't think.
Right, it'll be a world oh shit day when that happens. It'll be a oh shit day when that happens. But that's just the conventional thinking, the thinking that the government's going to announce it when they've known for years. And that's where you and I go even further, because going back in the history, Galileo dealt with aliens. All the language comes from aliens. That covers the whole fucking scope.
Yeah, and they were just watchers for most of it. And they all think that the government, some inside anthropomorphic cabal, is going to be leading the response to the meeting with the alien. Whereas we're saying, they're already here, they're already going to kill you, and Bob represents them, not humanity. I'm speaking on behalf of them. Did you get that? I said passing recently, well, Bob, you represent the aliens. What the fuck is that, you know?
Well, if there was going to be an alien invasion, Bob, then COVID, fentanyl, and TikTok is a good three mortars to lob onto a human population to completely anesthetize them before anything happens.
Yeah, and he was pointing out that nobody can ship the amount of fentanyl that's in the... that's in available. So that's another alien project.
Yeah, now they have this new one, Trank. This new drug. Trank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trank.
It'll be the
there you go. Trank. Tranquilize everybody.
God.
Wow.
What'd you say about everybody?
Tranquilize everybody with the Trank one.
Yeah.
But this one eats from the inside out, so they won't be around long. They'll be on the spam. Yeah.
And people take fentanyl, they just get their heart just stops, and that's it? I mean, why would anybody take it?
Yeah, that's a natural question. That's something when I hear about it, I'm like, why would somebody want to get mixed? Evidently, it must be highly addictive.
Yeah, but if you take it, don't you die pretty quickly?
I think they overdose on it or something.
It's because it's so strong, Bob, that you have to be incredibly precise in your measurement of it. I mean, it needs micro amounts to be effective. And so once someone's a little bit out of it and then they mix themselves another dose, you know, they might be a little bit...
They do it wrong.
Do it wrong and it's over immediately. There is fentanyl that's being used for anesthetics too, you know, for like, I heard someone talking about a mouth operation and they said that they were on a fentanyl drip. So it's used for anesthetic, but the thing about it is it's so powerful in its in the size, like the amount of a head on a pin. So that's probably what's happening. And you can blow it in a policeman's face if they stop you, you know, in a traffic light or something like that. You know, so that's the type of thing that it is.
But I'm all with what Bob said earlier. I don't know what it was. Maybe my engagement. Stay away from crowds. I've always naturally avoided that, but now is the time. You don't really want to fuck around in crowds. Like, you know, going to a concert or some shit. Because the nutballs are out now.
Man. Not only that, but just in general, people have been so tenderized by all the everything they've been through. Lockdown Bob rule and the great fattening, you name it, everything. You just don't want to be penned in with these animals.
No.
Yeah, I can't see why it hasn't started. Just somebody just start shooting at any crowd that's going on. Why aren't they shooting the Antifa protest this weekend? You know, anybody, there's enough nuts. Why don't they just open their window and start blasting? You know?
Maybe when the alien ships arrive, it'll kind of trigger that, Bob.
Yeah, I think I'll be broadcasting from the bottle pretty quickly. I think I'll have a press conference last for 2 minutes, and I'll get the hell out of there. That'll be it.
Didn't I say that your press conference would be 30 seconds?
Yes. Yeah. Run! Run!
Maybe I'll just step out in front of the camera, have this being beside me. The being will do all kinds of contortions, impossible physical contortions, for about 30 seconds, and then we disappear. And everybody spends a couple weeks analyzing, what the hell happened here? There's this guy, and we have many reports. Many people know this guy. They've heard of him. And then there's another weird form that's there, but it goes through all these mutations, and then they both disappear. What is that?
Hey, but you know, I was thinking about this in the last 2 weeks, is that what we were just talking about, the aliens showing up, is that there's it's a really increase of occurrence of people that have been vaccinated, having heart problems. Boy, when the aliens show up, they might just fall out to heart problems. Right away, the clots would just increase just for the whole sight of something that they've never seen before other than on television.
Yeah.
And they'll just wipe out because I've noticed here that there's an increase of people having chest pains and falling out just in the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's perfect.
People have died?
Yes, I had a young girl in the community that passed away and then I know a lady that had went and had a stent put in her heart because she had like really heart pain, you know. Had a stent put in her heart. So.
Well, when the big vehicle shows up over Maui, all my windows are going to go open. And I'm going to blast out Muffin Man. I'm going to start blasting the whole community with Zappa music. That form of celebration. You know, we do have incredible stories that report. So when we do give the history of everything, note the date, like you know, January 2023. Look it up. Say, okay, what was going on then? You're going to see stuff I indicate. That might take 10 years, but you'll see, holy shit, we were having those conversations. And this is what was going on with Bob and J.W. You guys are going to be amazed.
Got more information on Trump's uncle, or the guy that Trump's uncle worked with.
Yeah, Vannevar Bush was an alien, and Lloyd Berkner, he was an understudy, sort of like with Trump. But you look up at Trump. Trump didn't do much. He just got the Tesla archives. But this Lloyd Berkner, he's on every committee. He's a gatekeeper, you know, for all through the 20th century. And, you know, they were going to discuss the... Kennedy was on his way to the trademark, 2200 Stemmons Freeway. There's the 22, was the address. And he was going to have a meeting with Berkner, and they were going to discuss reveal Project Paperclip.
Wow. There's the history lesson by Bob. You get all the history that, you know, the things that the official history doesn't tell you. Bob fills it in.
Yep. No, we you take anything that's going on. I add a little extra detail about the scenario.
That was crazy as shit. If this, is it true about Adam Schiff went on fucking TikTok to raise money?
Yep.
Wow.
And you heard we heard what Trump he said. We heard what the Book of Secrets that I would not
Book
say
of Secrets, yeah.
What the Book of Secrets were that every president gets to see. That's right. Just like 8 months ago or something. They gave
right,
it away.
Right.
You fucking
right, yeah.
Told it tonight.
Yeah, the clone.
You got told what only presidents find out.
That's what he wouldn't tell the judge. Trump wouldn't tell the judge, and the judge was complaining about that Trump wouldn't release it, but didn't know why. Or Trump said you would. If you saw what it saw, you wouldn't want to release it. And now I just
so what was it?
That Kennedy was a clone, and he was still alive, and just recently died. That's what I heard.
Yeah, they probably all met Kennedy during the briefing. Kennedy walked in, said congratulations, good to see you, trying to be a good president, blah blah blah. You know. They stand there stunned as Kennedy debriefs them, because Kennedy's still in charge.
See, and that's where you go. You're in, like, you're from, they would think the dark journalists, and Joseph Fair would think, this guy Bob is a nut. I mean, Kennedy, clone, my goodness, where did he get they have a whole episode on Bob.
Yeah, see, you know, the dark journalist says, UFO researchers aren't paranoid enough. They don't take in the Mae Brussel world. And the Mae Brussel world does not acknowledge the UFO world. So you have two camps and only get half the situation. So the dark journalist wants to bring the two together, you know. And we found out from Ion that Mae Brussel was on to the thing, you know, by the 80s, but she knew it wasn't wise to talk about it. But you bring together a Mae Brussel and Stephen Greer, UFO expert and a conspiracy. Bring them together. That's what the dark journalist wants to happen. Now, it has come together, and it's being discussed on our show. What they want someone. I mean, they could do it. He and Joseph discussed the Mae Brussel level and the UFO anecdotes. So they do both. But they want to get to that position where you sit there on the sideline knowing that. But no, we got an active fucking investigation and revelation weekly, almost, after that fact has been established. You know what I mean? After the two positions have come together. That's what Ian's filling in. So the dark journalist and Joseph Verwin have to stop pontificating and come and listen and then start to ask intelligent questions about it. Because what they want is the attitude here. We've got the Kennedy, we've got the Mae Russell knowledge, and we've got the UFO knowledge, and then we've got the mystery landscape, which goes beyond both. See? That's why it's sort of, I just think that everybody's being protected. They're all going to die once they find out about the Kira show or two, okay? They just won't be able to take it. But, so they don't know about us, even though Ian says a lot of them are listening. So if we confront their, what they really believe, they like to believe the incredulous, but to hear it being talked about and based on, and Ion just talks from that base of knowledge and flies into new areas about it, new wrinkles, right? The platform Ion speaks of, nobody has gets to that platform unless they've been listening here. So Stephen Greer and these guys, see, that's the big test. What would they fucking do? How would they react to this? How would Stephen Greer react to Ion analyzing his speech to Congress? That was pretty good. You guys heard that?
Yes. Yes. Well, but maybe the drop effect, that probably if they're not on the drops, they're going to say, or a freak, they're either going to, first thing they're going to deny it. And if they do, they'll think that people who participate in the show are aliens. They won't take the information full-heartedly, what Ion is disclosing, I don't think, because they're not on the drops. They're not soft enough. Plus, the wide range of topics of how we can listen to your private session, I mean, you know, this private session was 2 hours or something, and that may be like, you know, a quarter of a year's worth of news information that a normal person takes in 2 hours. Because it goes just so topic. That the normal crab cheese person on the street that hasn't been exposed to you and Ion would just think that we're nuts, drunk, or aliens.
We're on acid, on speed, with hyper pattern recognition.
Yeah.
Oh, Deb's here. You know, Deb sneaks into office hours and talks to Greg.
Oh, Deb from laughing. Austin, yeah. That's great. Yeah. She's a fan. She's only fan of Greg. Greg has.
Yep. Greg's the only normal mind that Deb can handle. sorry, Chad. Sorry you were on mute. You must have had much to say, Chad, over the last 10 minutes.
I got interrupted by some stupid caller, so I had to jump off.
Some human interrupted you?
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think of what we say, Deb?
I think it's good. I think it's fun.
Fun. Yeah, it's fun to bob your head. You're going to kill people, right, Deb? That's pretty funny.
Yes. Where's Ion?
What about that? With Ion, two words there.
You're asking where or with?
A verb and a dangly passable. You want to put a W in there?
I forget the W, but...
When, where, what, why?
Oh, okay.
You just said with Ion.
Yeah, where what? Is he? With That's Ion. What I meant.
He's there, he can't talk. He's always quarantined after many hours of Saturday.
Oh, okay. Every time I call, he takes off.
Well, you have to call earlier.
I heard you guys earlier. You were talking so many subjects that... So.
That's it. There's the advertisement. So many subjects.
I don't know.
So many subjects here.
But I've been up all night, so I'm a little tired.
Well, why are you up all night?
Because I was trying to research salons, hair salons.
Yeah. Lots of luck on that one.
Yeah.
Yep. Upgrade your fucking research topic.
Oh, I found out that I think the UN is going to start criminalizing people for posting misinformation and. Yeah, and making hate speech. Huh?
That started five years ago.
What was that?
That started 5 years ago, criminalizing people for hate speech.
Well, I guess they didn't do it, though, because people still posted misinformation. And I think Amazon is involved with the CIA, and they're pretty cozy with the CIA, and they're going to be... Yeah, they're going to be enforcing it as well, or part of it.
Yeah, everybody's going to get arrested. Remember, everybody's going to FEMA cramp. That's another Ion prediction.
Yeah, I believe it.
So you better lay low. Don't say anything. Don't post anything.
Well, I already got my Facebook is restricted because I posted something that type of, you know, what they call... not propaganda, but conspiracy, whatever. So I posted something, and now my account is restricted.
Look at it. Listen to what we say. How come we're not arrested? Nobody goes as extreme as we do.
Because you're in Hawaii, and no one lists the people. You're in Hawaii, and the people, like, you know, the technocrats or whatever, they don't go after Achieve Radio. They're concerned about Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.
Well, do you know that Ion says that we've got millions of listeners, most of them well-known public figures?
Okay. That's good.
That's not good. Well, I don't know what it is, but they don't arrest us. They don't complain. They don't complain.
They might start enforcing it now, like, as the years go by. They might have not been serious about it. And the Chinese Communist Party is getting involved in this, maybe, a little. So
you're ridiculous. That's it. Enough of that. Let's get back to some serious things here. You're too far. You just listened, Deb. It's too far back. You're talking 1999 or something. You're not even in the 21st century.
But that's what you think.
Yes, but I'm the one that everybody's listening. Oh, yeah. What do you think of that? That I had basically stated that I was in charge of the global holograph. Did you catch that part? Did I?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
To somebody. No, you didn't.
No, I didn't hear that.
Did you hear that part?
No, I didn't.
And my notes. Nobody remembers that part?
I don't recall the word hologram.
Yeah, I have here, I think it was, it was Ara, just before Phineas Wake. She asked about the hologram, and Ion says, you're in a different hologram. This is my condensation. You're in a different hologram effect than we understand. I should put then you understand. So we're in a hologram, but it's not the way you understand hologram. And then he says in passing that Bob is at the center of it. Which is what
the holographic template. And who set the lesson plan in the minds of Bob?
Right. And that's the old hologram idea 5 years ago. You know, that's why my face is in the sun. So, just that if you're a normal, well, an intellectual listening to that, this would sound really like a cult. But see, Ion talks. He doesn't sound like a cult. He doesn't talk like a cult leader. He just talks and has all kinds of nice intonations and levels of humor and everything. You know what I mean? It's too conversational to be chalked off as propaganda. Unless someone said, this is the most subtle propaganda. They talk real friendly and personal and intimate and friendly and interesting and say, but it's all fucking deadly propaganda in the end.
Hey, Deb, what do you think of the idea that Bob's face is in the sun?
I was thinking the same thing.
She
going to
go, what? It doesn't take a while for the register in her brain. Did you get that, Deb? Or did you leave already? Well, we'll go see if she...
The last thing she said was, that's what you think. That was it.
Yeah. And then what did I say? Did I say anything?
Yeah, he said a bunch of stuff after that.
Yeah. She that was her... He took a swipe at me. So we did. She comes in and gets insulted at some point and leaves. Then comes back. Tries once more time to see if she gets through an hour of talking with him without getting insulted. Unless she just disconnected. Or her boyfriend came in, caught her, and she's hiding. So let's get back to what else have you been thinking about, Bert? Or Chad? Or Michael? What are some ideas that happened in the 2 week interval? What about me and Cameron? Did you hear the latest Cameron, Bert? Holy fuck.
The recent one, 63?
Yeah.
No, I saw that was posted. I got to listen to that one.
Did you hear the ending of it? I wonder if Nan transcribed the whole thing. Or Linda. Did Linda transcribe the whole thing?
She did the one before that. The December 1st. Yeah, it was on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of this one, basically, it looks like Cameron's falling in love with me. I think he's going to leave his wife. Come with him.
That's when I was asking Ian about the radiation, because I was thinking when I asked about, you know, you connect the radiation, thinking distinctly about you engaging Cameron, because he's really different than when you first started engaging him about the book, man. I mean, the next phase will be said, well, Bob, I'm thinking it's keeping on all the complete products. Then you know that you really got it.
Yeah, or I should have said, like, I had to cancel this week. Too busy. And he wrote back, well, I know you're really busy, Bob. I am, Jen. I know you're really busy because I tell him a bit of what we're doing. Okay. And pretty soon he's going to ask for a bunk on the ship. On the promenade.
Yeah. So, Bob, I'm working... In between, I'm working on the completing the threads. Remember, you want me to do that that last book of the threads
that
I complete. Completing thread. You sent me a list of Ian completing threads that Ian's completed. So it's a little more than just transcribing. It's like writing sentences. So I'm finding a lot of stuff. I just found something about Coldplay. I'm looking at Coldplay now through all my notes, and I found a note from 2009 or 10 from one of your private sessions that Ian told you that Moses turned on Coldplay to build the pyramids.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because they had Coldplay in Solomon's Temple.
Yeah.
But what is it, what did you start off saying?
You sent me a list. You sent me a list. Let me see.
Oh, yeah.
The,
you
sent me a list.
The 100 themes of Ion?
No, no, no. That you sent me that later, but there was a thing. You sent me like 18 threads to write summaries on, and that's what I'm working on now in between everything else.
Why
I'm
do you
doing.
Call them threads?
That's what you sent them. Hold on. Common threads that Ion completed was what titled the email.
Well, that means topics. Not threads.
Completed threads.
Topics.
Completed Ion threads. Yeah.
I don't know why I call them threads. I would say topics, but how do I know he's completed them?
Well, you sent me a list.
Well, what's some of the stuff on the list?
Jenny's seven levels, angel diagram, Queen Mother's wormhole, Brian Johnson's reverse situation, the Bible and Finnegan's Wake, tiny note chart, Ark of the Covenant, Solomon's
Temple.
Well,
I think those are, that's what I thought. You say it's another list, but I made up a list of what I thought that we learned about.
Yeah, that's something you did a quiz. You sent 100. Yeah, I have that. I have that list. It's 100 things that Ion quotes or words that Ion used.
But this other list is like you're supposed to go find them?
Yes, and write summaries on them, yeah.
Hmm. You have to listen to what is said on each topic.
Well, now listen, I already have the notes for most of them.
Oh.
The one that I have to look in is CRISPR. You had CRISPR on the list, and I've just found some of the CRISPR engagements in 2019. So that's what I'm working on in between everything else.
Yeah. That's my, let me read you. There's this guy called Finn Fordham, F-I-N-N. And he's a Joyce scholar. He's a professor, I think, in England. And there's a collection of Joycean essays by the new generation. And so they have more about media in it than older, the first wave of experts. Because they're younger, you know, they think in media terms. So, somebody sent me an article by him. I don't have the date yet, but it's called Early Television and Joyce is Spinning Its Wake. And he's listed as it from Royal Holloway in London. So he gives some interesting, he establishes some facts about television that are... concise. It's hard to find these facts. So he says the London department store Selfridges. Anybody seen that store in England? The London department store Selfridges had a radio and television department in 1929 and Baird services in the mid-1920s. And he says Baird and the BBC teamed up to transmit programs experimentally in 1930. On June 3rd, 1931, Baird successfully transmitted the Derby. And remember, the horse race is on the radio TV in Finney's Wake. So in 31, he transmitted the Derby, the first outside broadcast. The German service televised the Berlin Olympics of 1936. The BBC began regular programs on the 2nd of November, 1936. So in 1937, George VI's coronation, Queen Elizabeth's father, was broadcast. By September 1st, 1939, the day on which the BBC interrupted transmission because of the impending war, some 19,000 TV sets have been sold in the UK. He says it is interesting to compare these figures with the USA, where 5,000 sets were in use in 46, so there were more sets in the UK. But the USA had electronic television, not just mechanical version in the UK, so you'd have to know what kind of TV sets they were. And so the United States had 5,000 sets in 46. 2 years later, 1 million, and 2 years after that, 1950, 10 million. So they really grew. That the long dreamt of possibility of transmitting live images as well as live voices over large systems had become a reality that was of huge public interest. Now, the war closed down development of TV in Europe. It has also caused us to be divorced from television's pre-war embodiment. So all these facts about how much TV was happening in the later 30s, everybody lost sight of because they had to go through a war and then get shocked by the nuclear bomb, you know, the new technological environment. So he's explaining why nobody knew what went on in the 30s. I mean, I don't remember any of this stuff in France. I don't think they had any of it. So then it says, these events and the broad range of responses form a vital and somewhat marginal context for the high modernism in the 30s. So high modernism, that's, I guess, Pound's, Cantor's, Joyce's, Finney's Wake, T.S. Eliot's plays. So there, high modernism in the 1930s, the TV, a marginal context, for it did not simply coincide with high modernism, nor was the interest one way. Pirandello's formerly experimental, in the name of a play, The Man with the Flower in His Mouth, proved suitable, being a minimalist three-hander for early experiments transmitting television. Over the 3 years of BBC's transmission before the start of the war, some 336 plays were broadcast, including T.S. Eliot's highbrow Murder in the Cathedral, which was thought appropriate for the new medium and aired in 1937. One of the first documentaries ever shown on BBC television in November 1936 was called Cover to Cover, and it was sponsored by the National Book Council, and it featured interviews with T.S. Eliot, Julian Huxley, Somerset Maugham, and Rebecca West. The range of speakers in the late 30s indicates concerns about highbrow and middlebrow literature that are now being examined in modernist study. So he's speaking as a teacher, professor, critic, saying people studying modernism, the first half of the 20th century, are looking into these broadcasts. So a guy named John Piper gave talks on London galleries in 1937, February 10th. Paul Nash gave commentaries on art. I guess those were on TV. There were formalist experiments, especially in dance and drama, such as, quote, Fugue for Four Cameras, arranged by Anthony Tudor, and a mask based on The Eve of St. Agnes, broadcast in October 37. TV was not a threat to cultural life, whether literary or intellectual, but promoted both, and even in the 1930s was playing a role in the development of the concept of public intellectual. The cultural reaction to television itself was as established a phenomenon as TV itself. So basically, people, last 50 years, didn't see how TV was in Finnegan's Wake, written in the 2030s, because they didn't know how much TV was prominent for Joyce to notice. It says, this paper, what Finn is writing, will examine a selection of cultural responses to TV in the interwar period as a context for James Joyce's engagement with television in Finnegan's Wake during the 1930s. The selection registers, for the most part, anxieties about the military context of television in a world of increasing international tensions. Joyce's engagement is well known, at least among Joyce's, occurring in a particular section known as How Buckley Shot the Russian General. This was for Donald Beale, on the right track there. This was, he quotes Donald Beale. Beale says, this scene in Finney's Wake was one of the first fiction scenes in literary history involving people watching TV in a bar room. Finn says, although it may have been the first fictional representation, the presence of a TV in a bar didn't require a miraculous leap of imagination on Joyce's part. His vision was coinciding with actual consumer patterns of the period, as the following journal item indicates, quote, among recent purchasers of television receivers are large numbers of owners of licensed premises who are finding them a profitable attraction. It is stated that this class are at present the largest purchasers and that the number of receivers in public houses now exceeds those in the large department stores. Then Finn says, I will identify three roles which I believe Joyce plays. One, the accommodating skeptic. Two, the accidental prophet. And three, the detached geek. In all three, Joyce responds to questions which the possibilities of television were raising about the nature of the human and the power and value of this new technology. So, you know, an early version of people talking about virtual reality. Joyce's skeptical response is towards the way the invention of TV was interpreted magically, providing an excuse for spiritualist concepts of the human. What Jeffrey Skons diagnosed as, quote, a collective fantasy of telepresence. And he wrote that in 2000. Just as telegraphy or the telegraph gave new impulses to fantasies of telekinesis, you know, in the 19th century, so television gave impulses to related fantasies of teleportation. Now that's kinetic movement, you know, in its current state. They don't get the instant teleportation. There's no movement. You're just instantly wherever the signal is being picked up. As we will see, he says, science fictions adapted the dramatic new transformations and transportation of images and turned them into melodramatic transformation of matter, melodramatic transformation of matter-human or otherwise. Such adaptations exploit the potential for violence in both technology and communication and tended to demonize both in the process. Joyce, exploiting these transportations of television towards teleportation of, and then the exploiting materialist science was moving towards unheimlich spiritualism. He was not particularly ahead of his time, but he did so in pantomimic ways that distinguish him from both technophobic demonization and spiritualized technophilia. The prophetic response of Joyce's came in imagining what TV might be used for. We see a horse race and a battle scene, which are predictable enough, and in fact Baird, the British inventor of television, had already transmitted the Derby, and the BBC had transmitted a boxing match. But we also witness in Joyce's vaudeville a live televised public confession. Before the 19th century was over, H.G. Wells, always quick on the uptake, had already imagined what TV might show, and the form its display might take. In his novel, When the Sleeper Wakes, look at that title, 1899. Now, Joyce wrote to H.G. Wells, tried to get his attention. He wanted to find out what Wells thought of Finnegan's Wake. But, you know, Finnegan's Wake, When the Sleeper Wakes, that 1899 novel. In his novel, vast public halls display enormous screens known as babble machines, which relay live up-to-the-minute news, though Wells makes it clear they relay misinformation and counter-suggestions in the cause of law and order. Rather than the rise and fall of economic fortunes, Joyce pictures the rise and fall of the moral fortunes of international celebrities. In doing this, Joyce was preempting the dystopian world as projected by Orwell some 10 years later. So 10 years before Orwell. So he was preempting the dystopian world of the moral fortunes of international celebrities, which was projected by Orwell in 1984, but also as mediated by Oprah Winfrey some 60 years later. You know, people go on her show and confess their horrible lives. Joyce's prophetic vision of confession and television was determined by a pre-existing narrative structure in Finnegan's Wake, where a human, and the human in general, is continually on trial, cross-examined, sometimes defending himself, at other times confessing, elsewhere getting off scot-free. So yeah, that's a lot of the content of Finnegan's Wake. In addition, Joyce was responding, I would suggest, to another dramatic piece of news at the time, the show trials in Stalin's Soviet Russia, which unfolded from 1936 to 1938, and in which, amongst others, military leaders, Russian generals, that is, made high-profile public confessions. The third set of these, in 1938, I guess, of trials, was indeed filmed and widely distributed. Joyce could see the power of television as a propaganda tool for the state and as a PR tool for individuals. Yet another response of Joyce is the geek response, which involved becoming deeply versed in the actual technology of television. It is true, as Professor Rice says, that Joyce associates TV with violence, but anxiety about the violent power of this technology is also curtailed by a satirical sense of its limits and inevitable failing. What results is a refusal of the paranoia that will dominate conceptions of and discussions about TV. Paranoia about its effects on individuals and about its exploitation in the hands of power. Technology may be an extension of the human, and it may extend the human to such an extends outwards from human failings into new kinds of error. Dystopias are built on fears of evil, omnipotent forces. Dystopias are built on fears of evil, omnipotent forces, which extend themselves through new media, whether in the form of Huxley's Hypnopedia and television, that's 1932, Brave New World, or Orwell's Telescreen. Orwell, 1949, he says. The absence of dystopia in Finnegan's Wake is a sign that Joyce is skeptical of such omnipotence. Then he says, while Joyce's engagement has in fact received considerable critical attention, his engagement with television, that attention has not been plugged into modernist studies of media. It has tended to stay exclusively within the Joycean enclave, in brackets, with the important exception of Marsh McLuhan, or has not been integrated with other cultural responses, with the exception of T.J. Rice's recent work. As David Heyman's genetic, a certain kind of criticism, basically criticism that looks at the manuscripts, as David Heyman's genetic approach details, Joyce's incorporation of developments in television began in 1927 and bloomed in 1937, as he was bringing the book's composition to a close in 1937. And he finally composed the long-planned climactic section central to the book about an assassination of a Russian leader. The initial incorporation of television coincided with the development of a certain critical resentment, sort of, against Wyndham Lewis on Joyce's part, which in turn led through satire to the discover of a particular voice, that of a boastful, arrogant, and compromised intellectual modeled on the critical style of Wyndham Lewis. In the 1920s, Lewis had been a drinking companion of Joyce's in Paris, but in 1927, Lewis published a swinging attack on Joyce's time obsession in his book Time and Western Man. And then Joyce makes fun of Time and Western Man on page 292, and calls that book Spice and West End Women. The voice in the wake issues from one Professor Jones, in brackets, the Welsh surname indicating Lewis's Welsh background, who at one point dismisses the views of rival professors, like Wyndham Lewis, lacking, you know, Lewis would dismiss all the other professors. So Professor Jones, who at one point dismisses the views of rival professors, lacking the power he has, as a result of the new technology, the development of which he seems to be overseeing. So, I'll end there. So, very good. I've only read one third of it, but excellent talk about Finnegan's Wake and TV that nobody really has done, other than McLuhan. And now we introduce Brent. Brent, Professor Brent, get his last name, from Hartford, who will present his argument, the pros and cons of Trank. What do you have to say, Mr. Brent?
Hey, Bob, I'll come back on in 5 minutes. I can't talk right now.
Okay, just finish your blowjob.
Bob, you just reminded me, I have a PDF copy, because maybe, I don't know, years ago, I started to read Time and Western Man, and boy,
yeah.
Talking about, I have a PDF version, and when I said, I have a copy of that. Yeah, I started to try to read that, but that's pretty thick, Minim Lewis.
Yeah.
He really, he's very descriptive in his words, and it's really a different type of read than what I've been accustomed to. But I'm going to try to go back and read a few pages of it. I just pulled it up.
Yeah, he's the hardest to read next to Penny's Wake, who still writes English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Joyce. So here is, I'm reading his novel, The Childer Mass, which partly it's a satire on Penny's Wake before the book was known as Penny's Wake. You know, it's only being shown as work in project in little literary reviews in the mid and late 20s. But Lewis is so smart, he picks up on what Joyce is doing. So he satirizes the technique of writing Finneganese in this book, Childer Mass. But here's how the novel starts. The city, so you don't even know what he's talking about. The city lies in a plain, ornamented with mountains. These appear as a fringe of crystals to the heavenly north. One minute, bronze cone has a black plume of smoke. Beyond the oasis plain. What?
Yeah, see, he's very descriptive. Very, very, very descriptive detail. Like a painter, yeah. He writes like a painter, yes.
Yep. Beyond the oasis plain is the desert. The sand devils perform up to its northern and southern borders. The alluvial bench has recently gained in the celestial region upon the wall of the dunes. What the fuck is that? The pulse of Asia never ceases beating. Pulse of Asia, quote. But the outer Aeolian element has been worsted locally by the element of the oasis. The approach to the so-called Yang Gate is over a ridge of numolitic limestone. From its red crest, the city and its walls are seen as though in an isometric flange, 2 miles across, a tract of mist and dust separates this ridge from the river. It is here that in a shimmering obscurity, the emigrant mass is collected within sight of the walls of the Magnetic City. Now that's his term for the Globe Village, Magnetic City. To the accompaniment of innumerable lowing horns along the banks of the river, a chorus of mournful messages. So these horns are a chorus of mournful messages. To the company of that, the day breaks. At the dully sparkling margin, their feet in the hot waves, stand the watermen, signaling from shore to shore, signaling from shore to shore. An exhausted movement disturbs the night camp stretching on either side of the highway, which when it reaches the abrupt sides of the ridge, turns at right angles northward. Mules and oxen are being driven out onto the road. Like the tiny scratches of a needle upon this drum, having the horizon as perimeter, cries are carried to the neighborhood of the river. Now, I have no ability to visualize. I'm not a visual person. So I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at here, right?
Yeah, it's like a poetic Finnegan's Wake. Whereas, as opposed to a grammatical one, you know, like...
So then the next paragraph begins. The western horizon behind the ridge, where the camp ends... What fucking camp? You know what I mean? And who are these watchmen? What's the Magnetic City, for fuck's sake? The western horizon behind the ridge, where the camp ends inland, but southward from the high road, is a mist that seems to thunder. A mist that seems to thunder. Okay, how can a mist seem to thunder? A heavy murmur resembling the rolling of a ritualistic drum. A heavy murmur resembling the rolling of ritualistic drums shakes the atmosphere. It is the outpost or investing belt of Beelzebub, threatening heaven from that direction, but at a distance of 100 leagues, composed of his resonant subjects. Key words, a resonant. Occasionally, occasionally upon a long-winded blast, the frittered corpse of a mosquito may be born. As it strikes the heavenly soil, a small sanguine flame bursts up and is consumed or rescued. I don't know, is he still talking about the mosquito? I'm not sure. A dark ganglion. Now, I talk about dark, dangling ganglion.